What you didn't realize is part of the test, maybe, part of the opportunity is to see how you untangle yourselves. Because that seems like it's half the battle in life. And I know many of you right now are thinking, I can literally read your mind going, okay, condensed service of 40 minutes, he preaches for 45. How does that work? Do you realize that a person who has a why can withstand and even overcome almost any what? Think about that. Person who has a why can withstand and even overcome almost any what. So what is your why? What is that why? So I was running the Chicago Marathon. I was running to raise money for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. And I reached mile 21, and when I reached mile 21, there was a drink station. I stopped at the drink station. Huge mistake. There's something about movement and keeping moving. I stopped, and when I stopped to get a drink, I crumbled. I literally collapsed to the ground, and I couldn't feel my legs. I couldn't move. And so I was lying there on the ground. I was so utterly, completely exhausted and depleted, I just began to sob. Now, partly, I think I was sobbing from exhaustion, but also a sense of I wasn't going to be able to finish my race. And so I reached into my running shorts for some from Kleenex, because I was crying, and my hands touched this picture. And it was a picture of Ryan. Ryan has leukemia, and I was a chaplain at the University of Minnesota Hospital and Clinic. And I held Ryan's hand as he took his last breath. And that changed my life forever. I was running to raise money for research. 30 years ago, kids like Ryan, the survival rate was 5%. Today, 85%. So as I held Ryan's picture in my hand, and I was just looking at his eyes and remembering him, much to my surprise, I found myself rising to my feet. And I found something within me I didn't even know that I had, and somehow managed to run the last 5 miles. And when I crossed the finish line this time, there were tears, there were a lot of tears. But this time, it was tears of immense joy. A person who has a why can withstand, even overcome almost any what. Parker Palmer says that every single person has deep within them what he calls a spiritual DNA. And that spiritual DNA is the knowledge of who you are, why you are here, and how we relate to each other, that whole yarn thing. And he says we may abandon that knowledge, we might become distracted by less important things, but he says that knowledge, that spiritual DNA, never abandons us. I mean, I love that image that we actually may abandon the knowledge, the deep inner knowledge of who we are and why we are here, but that deep inner knowing never abandons us, continues to call to us, beckon us, invite us. You know, the Apostle Paul was an angsty individual. He always seemed to be kind of upset. He seemed to be frustrated with the people around him. And he was really particularly angry at how people tended to argue, how the churches tended to argue about the most ridiculous things. And, you know, that happens so often in our lives, that so often we live a story. We live a story around things that we think are have ultimate importance, only to discover they're not always as important as we think they are, right? The things that are most important are always at the mercy of the things that are least important. And when we do that, it prevents us from living a story bigger than ourselves. So Paul, while he's talking to the community in Ephesus, there's almost a pleading to his voice where he says, I urge you, it's Ephesians 4:1, I urge you to lead a life, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So Paul, in a sense, is just really encouraging us to stop wasting our energy and wasting our lives on things that are too small for you, things that are too small for God. Live a story bigger than yourself. A couple weeks ago, the session, the leadership of the church, had a five-hour session meeting. Yes, a five-hour session meeting. I see all of the faces of people who served on session previously thanking their lucky stars they're not on session any longer. And they were wrestling to approve the budget of 2018. I was so moved and humbled by these servant leaders who had this profound commitment to lead by faith and not fear, to lead by a sense of God's abundance and not scarcity. These servant leaders had this profound commitment to keep open to the Spirit's leading, that Spirit that calls us to a bigger story, how we might tell a bigger story through this church. But it was 5 hours. So I was exhausted and exhilarated. But boy, the next morning I was tired. The next morning, mind, body, spirit, I had nothing in the tank. I was so tired, so exhausted. And I was thinking to myself as I was dragging my butt, dragging my heels, boy, it'd be a whole lot easier to settle for small and safe and not dare to risk for the sake of our faith. That'd be a lot easier. I got into work and I was grumpy. Boy, I was grumpy, I was grouchy, I was tired. They might say that's every day, but this particular day, I was really grouchy. I lost my why. I lost my sense of why. The good news is, my why didn't lose me. First thing I did is I checked my mailbox, and in my mailbox was a letter from Guatemala from my sponsored student. And Ingrid was sharing her excitement of finally being able to be a student teacher in a kindergarten class. Her dream, which never would have been made possible without this church starting the sponsorship program. And then I encountered Sherry, our new office coordinator, and Sherry said, in addition to the multiple AA and support groups that happen in this church, there are 3 new AA groups starting to meet in this church. And I was reminded of myself, I'm so often, I walk around and I see all that needs to be repaired. And I forget that this building is a space of grace and healing for our community 7 days a week. Then I had a meeting with Morgan. But then Morgan shared with me how the middle schoolers of the Bend Youth Collective finish every group praying with and for each other. And how these middle schoolers, just in the last meeting, were sincerely, with depth, praying for friends struggling with mental illness and friends who are being bullied. I mean, how cool is that? And then I encountered Mark and had a meeting with Mark and Stephanie, our new care ministry team, our directors of spiritual care and community care. And we were reflecting on how the previous Saturday we shared a memorial service. In fact, you know, I led a memorial service for Shirley Ray at the River House. At the very same time, Mark and Stephanie led a memorial service here in the sanctuary for a young man who tragically died, and his family, they had no church home, and for some reason they reached out to us. Mark, Stephanie, our deacons, provided this incredible space of grace, holding them in their grief. And they shared with me how they're meeting with every single deacon to explore ways how we can improve our yarn exercise, how we can improve the way we care for one another and make sure no one falls through the cracks. And then they shared some ideas how we can deepen our prayer life in this congregation. And I had a coffee with one of our tutors in our Bear Creek tutoring program, and she shared with me her excitement about how her student is growing in confidence. And just 2 hours a week, she is helping a young person live a better story, and she said how that story just fills her story with such incredible incredible joy. And then I had a meeting with Becca, our new children and family director, and she was talking about how excited she was about a game night, which I think was last night, and a mom's coffee that's coming up, but most importantly, seeing parents. I mean, there is perhaps no more difficult task than parenting in this world of ours, and seeing parents connect with each other and support each other. And then I met Shimiko, our pastor for justice and mission, and Shimiko shared with me how we are trying to be better neighbors to our Latino neighbors who at this particular time are feeling so vulnerable, marginalized, and threatened. And then all of the staff met, and we planned Lent and Holy Week. That was one day. One day in the life of Stephen Kosky, but most importantly, that happens every single day at First Presbyterian. And my tiredness and my grumpiness kind of gave way to gratitude and excitement and energy. And I was thinking to myself, I get to be part of this story. I get to be part of this story that God is trying to tell through this church. And you do too. You do too. In fact, you are part of that story. You know, it's so easy to forget our why, to get distracted, to settle for lesser things. But the why that God has planted within each and every soul never forgets you, continues to call you and invite you to a story greater than yourself, a story of redeeming, reconciling, restoring, and healing this broken world of ours in love. So friends, together, may we continue to live lives worthy of the calling we have received. May it be so. We continue to worship God as the offering is received.